You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, it was not a good weekend of baseball for the Mets as they dropped 3-4 to the Washington Nationals. I'm going to talk about that series in the first segment. Then in the second segment, I want to talk about Joe Lucchese, who ended up on the IL with elbow inflammation. I'll also talk about David Peterson's recent turnaround and the impending return of big-time Mets like Jeff McNeil, who could be back as soon as Monday. Finally, though, in the third segment, I will preview the Mets' upcoming series against the Atlanta Braves. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Also, if you want to check out another great podcast that covers everything going on with Major League Baseball, check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, call him Sully, where he goes through everything going on in Major League Baseball with help from our local experts. So check that out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, this was the first series the Mets have lost since May 23rd against the Miami Marlins, a series that took place from the 21st to the 23rd. The Mets lost 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. They were coming off a series sweep at the hands of the Rays. At the time, everyone was panicking with the way the Mets were playing. What'd they do? They went on a great run over the past month where they have catapulted themselves out into a comfortable lead in front of the NL East. So a bad weekend shouldn't erase all of that. I understand fans have the tendency to freak out a bit when the team doesn't play well, and this was not a good weekend by any stretch. Outside of the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday, where Francisco Lindor was an offense in of himself, the Mets didn't have an offense over the weekend, and that was the problem. On Friday night, it was an incredibly frustrating game to watch. Eric Fetty, of all pitchers, limits the Mets to just 2 hits over 7 innings. The Mets did not score in that game. The Nationals did not score until the 9th inning of that game when Edwin Diaz came in for a non-save opportunity. And once again, those non-save opportunities do not work out well for Diaz. Gives up a walk-off hit to Yan Gomes. You can make an argument in that game that Seth Lugo should have stayed on to pitch that 9th inning. Only got 1 out in the 8th. Didn't throw a lot of pitches. Easily could have come back out. But at the same token, would the Mets have scored in the 10th? Would Edwin Diaz have held it down in the 10th if the Mets were to get a lead? Again, I'm not going to nitpick Rojas too much on these things. And Lugo played a role on Saturday that he might not have been able to play had he pitched on Friday. So then you get to that one win the Mets had. And again, like I said, Lindor was the offense in that game with 3-for-4, had 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, easily the most impactful offensive game he's had as a Met, and they were able to get a big victory there. David Peterson looked good in that game. Overall, though, that was basically the series for the Mets when it came to the positives. They lose the second game of the doubleheader outside of a meaningless Jose Peraza home run in the 7th inning of that second game, and the Mets were already trailing by 6 runs. There was no offense to speak of. Sean Reed Foley had his worst appearance as a Met in that second game following Robert Gazelman, who gave the Mets 2 pretty solid innings, giving up just 1 run. Reed Foley comes in, ultimately gives up 5 in less than 2 innings of work, and the Mets dropped that game in, I don't know if you call it a blowout fashion, but pretty close to that. And then finally, you get to Sunday's game. Kevin Pillar and Pete Alonso each hit solo home runs, but that was it. The Mets only had 4 hits in that game. Taijuan Walker did his best to keep the Mets in it for a long time, did not have his best stuff, gave up 10 hits and 4 runs. but the last one came after he exited, gave up a pinch hit double to Gerardo Parra. He had already given up two home runs to Kyle Schwarber in the game, so the Mets went to Jeurys Familia to try to pitch to Schwarber, and Schwarber hit a third home run of the game off Familia, and that was the fourth run registered to Walker, the inherited runner of Parra, who was on second base. Overall, Schwarber just destroyed the Mets in the final game of the series, and that was basically the story. Overall, the Mets were outscored 13-9 in the series. You take out that monster game from Lindor, four runs scored over the other three games. Just ugly baseball for the Mets. You would have loved to see them go on the road in Washington and prove that they can win on the road. Because one of the recurring themes this year is the Mets are one of the best teams in baseball at home at Citi Field with all that fan support, where they are 20-7 on the road, 16-22 now. Obviously, they came to this weekend 15-19. Either way you slice it, not a good road record. They got to figure that out at some point this season. You have to be able to win on the road. It's okay to not have a record above 500 on the road, but if you're going to be a great team, you want to get to around 500 at least while you continue to be one of the best home teams in baseball. And I don't believe the Mets are going to continue to win at, what is that, like a 750? Maybe even better than that clip at home. I don't think that's going to happen. So at some point, these things have to level out a bit. I wouldn't overreact too much, though. Again, one bad weekend, the first serious loss they've had since May 23rd. As long as they right the ship here, they face the Atlanta Braves at home, go out, another four-game series. Let's say you take three of them there, you're right back in business. So we'll see if the Mets can rebound here. Just a ugly, ugly week of baseball that everyone probably wants to put behind them. And we will do that as we move on to talk about Joey Lucchese, who ended up on the injured list over the weekend, David Peterson's turnaround, and also Jeff McNeil's imminent return. We'll get to all that in just a minute. But investing can be complicated, whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years. So Wealthfront's here to make it easy. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. You can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to Wealthfront.com/LockedOnMLB. That's WealthFront.com/LockedOnMLB to start growing your savings today. One of the big things that has helped the Mets as of late is the resurgence of Joey Lucchese after a really rough start to the season where he was tipping pitches, really struggling, couldn't go deep into games, could barely even stay in games. He figured it out. He has a 1.19 ERA in his last five starts, went 5 1/3 without allowing a run on Friday, but unfortunately he has landed on the injured list with elbow inflammation. Now we don't know how bad this injury is. He still needs to get an MRI, which they will do on Monday, and we will see what happens from there. At first, it seemed like the Mets are really optimistic. Now, I don't want to say that optimism has disappeared, but it's just less clear where the Mets are with this injury. On Sunday, Rojas was kind of mysterious talking about it, said, hey, look, we got to see what the MRI says first before we know. So we're just going to have to wait and see on Lucchese. Hopefully, it's not a long stint on the IL. If it is just 10 days, the Mets are actually in pretty decent shape because they have an off day on Thursday. So assuming everyone's healthy, Jared Eichhoff is there to likely start the second game of the doubleheader on Monday, assuming that Jacob deGrom is starting as well. They won't need another starter then until Tuesday the 29th because they have that off day on Thursday. His next time to start Lucchese, who would have been slated to pitch Thursday had there been a game, it won't be until the 29th of June which is actually when he could return off the injured list. So if everything breaks right, and it rarely does for the Mets when it comes to injuries, they could be in great shape where Lucchesi can get slotted right back into the rotation on the 29th and they can keep rolling. We'll just have to wait and see what the MRI says and if this is going to be something more serious. And if it is, maybe the Mets have to look outside the organization to make a trade because there is not a lot left outside of Jared Eichhoff, who's already on the roster, and we'll talk about when we're previewing the next series, but his numbers haven't been that great this year anyway. Another guy that's had some bad numbers this year is David Peterson. Everybody was calling for his demotion 2 weeks ago. But in his last two starts, once again, credit the Mets coaching staff, credit Jeremy Hefner and Jeremy Accardo. They know what they're doing with these guys, and they figured him out at least for the time being. 10 2/3, one run allowed, and that was an inherited runner that was given up in his most recent start. It went 4 2/3. Overall, has allowed just 3 hits and over 10 innings pitched, 5 walks, 9 strikeouts. Peterson is really starting to figure it out. That's huge for the Mets because when he is right, he has the ability to not only pitch really well for the Mets, but actually get a little bit deeper into games than even a Lucchesi can. So if you can start to get 6 quality innings out of David Peterson every time out, you're going to be in really good shape. So we'll see how he continues to progress moving forward. His season has been very roller coaster, up and down, a good start, a bad start, a good start, a bad start. But he's now strung together 2 in a row. We will see if he can make that 3 good starts in a row later this week. The big news over the weekend, though, is that Jeff McNeil looks to be back with the Mets. He has played 5 rehab games so far. He hit .400 in his rehab assignment with a .438 on base percentage, a .733 slugging percentage, OPS well over 1,000. Nearing 1,200, actually. Jeff McNeil is expected to be back in the lineup at some point on Monday. We don't know if that's game 1 or game 2. Rojas said he wasn't sure which game he'd be activated for, and maybe they'd hold him out because Kyle Moeller, a rookie for the Braves, is a left-hander. I don't know why you would have McNeil available to you and not want to use him right away, but the bottom line is they're getting him back, and that's going to make this team so much better. All those at-bats that have gone to Jose Peraza and Luigi Orme and Jonathan Villar, well, now Jeff McNeil's there to take a lot of those at-bats. And right now, I'd assume Villar is probably still going to be the everyday third baseman. McNeil probably slots into second, and they probably keep it like that for the most part. Last week, I talked about the possibility of playing Jeff McNeil out in right field a bit with Dominic Smith in left, and either Kevin Pillar or Billy McKinney in center, but Michael Conforto appears to be very close to being back as well, so it might just make more sense to slot McNeil back in as the everyday second baseman and figure out at-bats for everyone else at the other positions. You can get Guillorme some at-bats at third along with VR. You know, Peraza is probably heading off the team soon anyway, to be honest. You look at the outfield right now, they got a mix of Pillar, Almora, McKinney, Dom. Soon Conforto comes in. What's that mean? Does that mean Almora goes down? Does it mean McKinney goes down? Do they keep them both and just send down Drury and Peraza first? That could be an option for the Mets. They're going to have to make a lot of moves over the next week or two as Brandon Nimmo has begun a rehab assignment as well. So the Mets are expecting over the next 10 days to potentially have McNeil, Conforto, and Nimmo back, which is going to take this team to an absolutely higher level. That's the thing that people maybe haven't really thought about enough, or there's been so much focus on the replace Mets or the makeshift Mets or whatever you want to call this ragtag group that won all these games, and everyone's been giving them a ton of praise, and rightfully so, as guys like Peraza and McKinney and Drury at times, all of them have stepped in and played pretty big roles for this team to help them capture first right now. But these guys were 4A type players for a reason, and they have proven that they can play and be functional players on a major league roster, but that does not make them the same caliber of player as the guys the Mets are going to be getting back in Conforto, in McNeil, in Nimmo. If you remember the beginning of the season, Brandon Nimmo carried the lineup for the first 2 weeks. Michael Conforto, over his career, has been able to carry a lineup at times. Jeff McNeil can be an on-base machine, hit for some pop, having these guys back is going to really change the dynamic for the Mets, and maybe that makes them a team that can go out on the road and win some games. Maybe it doesn't have to just be everything breaking right at home for the Mets to stay where they are in the standings. I really do think, and this is not a hot take, obviously, but this is where this team has the real ability to take off when they get these guys back. J.D. Davis still a little bit further off, but the Mets are starting to get whole again, and that should be a scary proposition for the rest of this division. So we'll see what happens over this coming week. First, it will be a series against the Atlanta Braves, which I will preview in just a minute. And if you want to bet on that series, go to BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, or Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds, the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can use for other important things like your mortgage. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you could just go to rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want from engine control modules to brake parts, tan lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and have it delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us, box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So the Mets will take on the Atlanta Braves in a four-game series beginning with a doubleheader on Monday. The Braves have had a dreadful season. They're 3-7 in their last 10, although that does not include a nightcap tonight on Sunday against the Cardinals. I'm recording this before that game takes place, so maybe they'll be 4-6 over their last 10. Regardless, they have not been playing good baseball. They're 5.5 games back from the Mets. Again, as I record this, that could change by the time you're listening to this. But they are still well under 500 at 4 games under. So the Mets are facing a Braves team that is still down and out. That's the bottom line we're getting to through all this. And this is once again an opportunity at home to widen that gap between who you believe to be your chief competition in this division heading into the season. And there's still a chance with Ronald Acuna Jr., Freddie Freeman, Max Fried, Ian Anderson. They got good players that we can talk about. There is a chance that the Braves can figure this thing out in the middle of the season and get right back in the hunt. So you got to take advantage of these opportunities when you're facing the Braves, maybe not fully realized into what they could be at some point this season. So again, this all begins with a doubleheader, and the Braves are actually coming off playing a doubleheader and also playing the Sunday night baseball game. They got to travel in and play at a 5 o'clock start on Monday. That's rough on them. So you think the Mets would have the edge, especially if Jacob deGrom is on the mound, which is what the Mets are anticipating at this point. He says he's good to go. They haven't quite cleared him yet, but it appears like that's what it is shaping up to be right now. Likely Jacob deGrom and Jared Eichhoff going against Kyle Muller and Ian Anderson. Ian Anderson has pitched to a 3.58 ERA this season. He has given up 4 runs and hasn't made it out of the fifth in 3 of his last 4 starts. The first of those starts was against the Mets on May 29th, where he gave up 4 runs off 7 hits. He also allowed a home run to James McCann and another to Dominic Smith in that game. This season, though, Anderson has proven that he has the ability to be a top-flight, frontline starting pitcher when everything's right. So that's not an easy pitching matchup by any stretch, even if it is Jacob deGrom on the mound against him. You're in a shortened game. One run could make all the difference. Now, Kyle Muller will start the other game, and that's a very interesting proposition for the Mets because this is a rookie who's going to be making his first big league start. That does not generally go well in Mets history. Guys seem to do pretty well when they make their debuts against the Mets, so I do not know how that one's going to break for this team. But what I will say is this is not a guy with impressive numbers this year. 4.60 ERA and 7 starts to AAA. He did make one appearance with the Braves in relief, and he gave up 2 runs in an inning of work against the Boston Red Sox. For his career, the left-handed starter does have a 3.17 ERA in the minors. Again, though, because he's a rookie going against the Mets, I expect 7 innings of shutout ball. Sorry, that's just what happens, okay, in these situations. We've seen it too many times. On the other hand, the Mets are going to have Jared Eichhoff maybe going against Muller. He's pitching one of those two games. Not sure who's going to go in which one just yet. Eichhoff is expected to start, though, as he was activated off the injured list on Sunday and did not pitch in that game, so he should be ready to go. He has bad numbers this year as well in the minors. A 5.32 ERA in 8 starts at AAA. Did have 5 wins, but, I mean, what are we taking from the win stat nowadays? The ERA is more important and has not looked great this year. For his career, though, Eichhoff has plenty of big league experience and has a 4.15 ERA. It's good to have a guy like this on your roster. Go out when you need maybe 2 or 3 starts because someone's hurt to just get you through, and hopefully one of them is good enough that you can get a victory. And maybe that's what happens in this game. I imagine that if the Mets have a lead in Eichhoff's start, they're not going to let him stay out there too long to potentially ruin it, especially in a 7-inning game. The Mets have a lead and Eichhoff gets him through 3, I would not be surprised at all if Rojas tries to shorten that game and go to that bullpen. When he has a chance to win games, Rojas usually grasps it. So I don't know how long Eichhoff goes, and I could also see another circumstance on the other end of the spectrum where Eichhoff goes out, gives up 5 runs in the first inning, and then is just hung out to dry to wear it and get the Mets through and get them some length if a game is essentially lost early on in a doubleheader. We'll see what happens there. Now, Mason Williams was sent down, I should mention, to accommodate Eichhoff coming onto the roster. Albert Amora returned over the weekend as well, so that's why Williams' spot on the roster was tenuous at best. He was going to get sent down at some point, and that happened on Sunday. Tuesday, it will be Marcus Stroman versus Charlie Morton, a very good pitching matchup. Stroman has gone at least 6 innings in his last 8 starts. That is the best mark of his career. 7 of those starts have been quality starts. He has a 2.5 ERA during that stretch with 46 strikeouts, and he has a 2.35 ERA on the season. I said it last week, Marcus Stroman, in my opinion, has been the most important pitcher on the Mets because he leads the team in innings, because he's taking the ball every 5th day, and because he's pitching deep into games. You just can't quantify what that means on the days that he's not starting as he helps the bullpen get a rest. And he also gives the team that steady presence and that boost mentally, because you know every time Stroman's on the mound, you're going to have a chance to win. So that's been huge for them this year. Charlie Morton, however, has started to turn it on as of late. He actually carried a no-no into the 7th inning against the Cardinals his last time out. He pitched against the Mets on May 19th and held them to just 1 run, I believe 2 hits, over 6 innings pitched. Charlie Morton, even at his advanced age, can still get a lot of guys out with that incredible curveball he can still spin. Now, the final game of this series will be a battle of 2 left-handed pitchers who are trying to become the guys they were in 2020. Max Fried was one of the best starting pitchers in baseball this year. It just hasn't quite worked out for him the same way. Dealt with injuries early on, has been inconsistent all year. He still has outstanding stuff when he puts it all together. He just hasn't put it together as consistently this year as he did in the 2020 season. His last time out, he was great though. Gave up a leadoff double and then only allowed 1 more hit for the rest of the game against the Cardinals on Friday. 7 scoreless innings. So we'll see what Fried brings to the Mets on Wednesday. David Peterson is coming off 2 great starts, as we've talked about. And this is a big test for him. If he has three in a row and against a good Braves lineup that has a guy in Ronald Acuna Jr. who is stuff of nightmares for a left-handed pitcher like Peterson, that's going to be a really big building block for him mentally moving forward. So we'll see if he can get the job done again this week. Anyway, this is a big series for the Mets after losing one to the Nationals. Hopefully, they can get things back on track. The fact that they're at Citi Field is obviously a good indicator of future success. So I imagine the Mets have a nice start to their week. They'll finally get an off day on Thursday to regroup, and they're going to get reinforcements throughout the week as well. So that's going to be a very welcome sign. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan, and follow the show at Locked On Mets. Also, if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast, hosted by Peter Bukowski. Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.